Well, the sermon title is Love Without Limits. If you've seen our Easter cards, that's what's on the front of them. And that's what the message is all about today. Because at the center of the Easter account is a heartbreaking estrangement, a broken down relationship that is damaged and seemingly beyond repair. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And history confirms that a Jewish teacher from Nazareth in the northern part of Israel was put to death by the Romans in front of his followers, a death, according to documents, that he himself had predicted several times but didn't appear to avoid. So was this deliberate? Was this martyrdom? What was the purpose? Was Jesus just proving to a motley group of largely working class men, that's what his followers were, how much he valued their friendship? Is that what it means? Had he not already known that he was their friend? They'd been with him for 3 years. So what did this add by dying? Well, actually, this verse contains the entire message of Christianity. Human beings have become estranged from God. The reason that we are relational, and that means that we seek friendships, is because we as human beings are designed for friendship. Not just friendship with each other, but friendship with God. But we blew it because we're so self-centered that we thought we didn't need God and threw his love back in his face and walked away from his love. And you think, well, I didn't do that. But actually, in not acknowledging who he is as the one who is the one who created you and has authority over your life and this universe, you did exactly that. God, however, never gave up on you or me. But this verse is not just for Remembrance Day. It's often used, isn't it? It's often used at Remembrance Day. You know, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we hear it often on Remembrance Sunday. But this is actually Easter in an eggshell. Yeah, rather than a nutshell. Easter in an eggshell. There is here in this verse the proof of limitless love. There is proof of a relationship, a friendship restored. And there is proof of forever friendship. Friendship that lasts forever. Love, greater love, has no one than this, Jesus said, to lay down one's life for one's friends. In dying, Jesus made this claim. But in rising from the dead, there was proof. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into this a bit more. Father God, we want to thank you that you teach us from your word. You teach us who you are and how much you love us. And you teach us about ourselves and how far away from you we are, how we have been separated from you. And you teach us on this great day that your plan of rescue made it possible for us to be friends with you, the holy, living God. Amen. We're looking just at a few verses around this verse that is in the leaflet, and it's from John and chapter 15. So if you've got a Bible there, it's on page 1083. We're just going to look at a very few verses. We're looking at John 15, verses 9 through to 17. John 15, 9 through to 17. And let me just read them to you as you'll hear that verse comes right in the middle. And I want you to hear about the context, what's before it, what's after it, and why it makes a difference to know the context. "As the Father has loved me," so Jesus says to his disciples, "so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. So firstly, the proof of limitless love. The proof of love is not flowers or chocolates or remembering your birthday. Yeah, so some of you are let off the hook for forgetting birthdays on occasions. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So Jesus is saying the greatest proof of love is to die for your friends, right? No. Actually, that's not what the verse says. Look carefully. This verse comes in the middle of Jesus explaining that the proof of love is actually submissive obedience to the point of putting your life with its desires, its preferences, its motivations to one side, laying down life. By the way, there's a real challenge for those of us who claim to love Jesus as our rescuer and want to do what he commands. How are you and I at laying down our lives in that way? Submissive obedience. Anyway, that's for another time. But for Jesus, this submissive obedience did mean dying. And that was a very specific thing. It was very specific to why Jesus came and what Jesus was doing in submissive obedience. So listen out for that. In laying down his life, Jesus shows that he loves and how much he loves. But the question is, who is he showing love to? Again, that seems obvious, doesn't it? The answer is, isn't it his disciples? You know, greater love is no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. It's his disciples, the you know, those people that have been his friends and have been with him for those 3 years. Well, yes and no. Because look at the motivation for the behavior. And that's where you see the real object or the focus of Jesus' love. Do you see in verses 9 and 10... it's out of love for God the Father, wanting to obey the Father's commands and remain in the Father's love, in God the Father's love. So Jesus was, in laying down his life, showing that he loved the Father and showing how much he loved the Father in submissive obedience to him. Jesus' submissive obedience took him to death. Because the Bible says that what separates God from us is sin. Sin is our natural tendency to steal control from God. And without dying, the Bible says, sin can't be sorted out. And so for Jesus, his friends were going to be forever separated from friendship with God because sin was there. And without something dying, sin would always be there. The Bible defines love like this. This is the Message paraphrase translation, but it says this in 1 John 4. This is love, not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. God the Father knew that this was the only way for sin to be sorted. And Jesus, God the Son, knew that laying down his life meant submissive obedience, which would take him to a cross. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this. This was the greatest greatest sign of love. Laying down his life was a demonstration of his limitless love for his Father. But it also allows those who recognize that they've blown their relationship with God, that they too can have access to the Father's limitless love for them. The claim was one thing, yeah? Greater love has no one than this. There's no greater love than this. And then he showed it. He laid down his life to the point of death. But Easter, that's Good Friday story. Easter Day story is that Jesus, rising from the dead, proved his love was unstoppable. Death couldn't stop it. Time couldn't stop it. And it couldn't get in the way from this once-for-all submissive obedience. Love was truly limitless now that Jesus was raised from the dead. Secondly, the proof of relationship restored. Jade was 16 when she had Jasmine. It was tough, as it was just the two of them as they were growing up. Jasmine was just like her mum, funny, sassy, independent. And growing up, they were always together. Wherever Jade was, there was Jasmine, like her shadow. But in her early teens, things took a different direction. The sass turned to anger, and the independence became defiance. It came to a head when Jasmine was 15. She stole her mum's bank card, emptied her account, and ran away to Manchester, and then just disappeared off the grid. Jade turned from frantic and fearful for Jasmine to hurting and heartbroken, and then just numb. After 6 weeks, Jasmine sent a letter saying she was safe, but she wasn't coming back. Jade's numbness turned to an empty ache. Nothing seemed to fill it. 2 years after Jasmine had left, Jade met Marek and fell in love. He was not like other guys. In fact, he was caring and sensitive. But even he couldn't take away the empty heartache that Jasmine had left. A year later, Marek proposed, and the wedding date was set for September. The evening before the big day, Marek was due to pick up the cake. But as Jade opened the door to him, there beside him stood Jasmine. Marek had traced her, pleaded with her, encouraged and reassured her, and brought her back home for the wedding. The next day, there were tears of joy. Jade always said she could never love anyone any more than she loved Marek. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And why does he lay down his life? Well, it's because he knows that this is what the Father loves to see. John 10:17 says, "The reason the Father loves me," says Jesus, "is that I lay down my life." So Jesus was laying down his life and doing what the Father loved. It's not just because the Father is some kind of Victorian Father who loves silent and obedient children, but actually, it's because of a motivation. Actually, what Jesus was doing was recognizing God the Father's motivation. It's found in John 17. Flip over a couple of pages. John 17:20-23, as Jesus prays for all believers, he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message," through the message of the disciples, the first apostles, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. God's desire is that all who believe will know that they can have a relationship with him restored and know their Heavenly Father's love personally for them once more. God the Father wants his estranged children to be restored in friendship. And Jesus knew that the only way that that could happen was if he laid down his life. But did you notice in verses 10 and 11 back in chapter 15 that by laying down his life, Jesus wants his disciples to feel secure, to remain in his Father's love and to know the deep inner sense of pleasure, joy, that he himself had experienced. And that's what we were hearing just there in John 17, is that what Jesus wanted was that those estranged children of God would know truly what he knew. The Father's love and the Father's security and the joy that that brought. In dying in the place of those who deserve the death penalty for their treasonous rebellion against God, Jesus makes it possible for the relationship to be restored between God and his estranged children. But the amazing Easter message is that in rising from the dead, Jesus proves that he paid the penalty in full. And for those who believe, there is the possibility of a relationship restored and joy and security forever. So this is that Easter message. There is proof of limitless love. There is proof of a relationship restored. And thirdly, there is proof of friendship forever. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Social media platform Facebook is based upon, very loosely, so-called friendships, which you can be invited to join, but equally you can be cut off from or unfriended if you cause upset or offend. The truly amazing part of this verse, though, is that Jesus didn't just lay down his life for his band of brothers, yeah, but he did it for those who were the enemies of the Father he truly loved. Romans 5 verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling against God, while we were separated from God because of our sin, then Christ died for us. In his death, he turned enemies into friends. The word the Bible uses for that turning enemies into friends is reconciled, fixing the rift between two estranged parties. But listen to Romans 5 verse 10 if you thought that Romans 5 verse 8 verse was good. For it says this, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Do you get it? Jesus' death makes it possible for you to be friends with God, but Jesus' resurrection from death proves that believers can never be unfriended. Romans 6, 9 says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died once for all. But the life he lives to God. It's going to go on. This is the greatest demonstration of love. Jesus laid down his life for the estranged children of God, like you and me, who lived our own lives our own way. But as the dynamite of God's power blasted death away, rolling that stone back to reveal the risen Jesus, Jesus proved his limitless love for his Father and for us, and that our relationship with God has been restored, and that we could be forever friends with God. If you know this to be true, then Easter really is a day to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yeah, you have been brought into friendship with God, and it can never be changed. But perhaps you want to know a bit more about this friendship with God. You've never really thought about it, or it's something that's new to you. Well, I would love to share with you some more, or David or Phil would be very willing to share with you some more. So please do see us afterwards. But let's close as we sing a great hymn that says that we can be sure for always of God's love. And can it be that I should gain? Why should it be that I get anything? But God made me a friend of his when I didn't deserve it. So that's what this great hymn says. Let's, once the musicians are in place, let's stand to sing together.